Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When I took the A-Sun job after 6 years at
On with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan
and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
It is hour number two of our Saturday morning extravaganza from Roy's Meat Service. Both hours presented by Freeman Webb, one-on-one with Greg Pogue. And this is going to be fun. If people know me in the Ohio Valley Conference, I grew up on it, okay? I'm not the ombudsman or the historian, but I mean, some of my earliest days of my life was OVC. And then, of course, Bowling Green, Western Kentucky, and then all of that and everything. But everything ever since, I've been a fan. Beth DeBush is like a sister to me. And now Matt Wilson is the Ohio Valley Conference Commissioner. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me over here today.
Congratulations, by the way.
It's really an honor. I mean, it's amazing sometimes to look back and think you get a chance to do this. It's exciting.
And you're back sort of home, right? I know we're talking about the Gulf Coast Conference and everything where you were the commissioner and everything, but Columbia Central Lions.
That's right.
Belmont Bruins. That's right. And so you're back in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I told the board when I interviewed for this thing, this is the third time I've tried to get a job at the OVC, so we hope it'll work for us this time. But one of them, they hired Kyle Schwartz instead, and I think that was a big win for them. So they're much better off with Kyle doing that work than me.
You told me. And Kyle's one of my best friends, and obviously he is the associate commissioner for something.
That's right.
It's
everything.
Whatever else that needs to get
all
done.
All our outward facing stuff.
It's MCOTUS. And this is with my cats. You know, my title is chief operating officer partner. It's actually, and I got this from the Albany guy, sort of my counterpart up there, MCOTUS. MICOTOS.
All right.
Man in charge of all the other.
Yes.
Bleep.
Use the words you want to use there.
Yeah,
right?
Stuff.
Of correct. There
stuff.
You go. Saturday morning can be stuff.
Why now? Why the OVC for you?
You know, it really has been an aspirational job for me, and I think there's great opportunity there. And I'd spent 12 years building stuff at the Gulf South, and it felt like maybe it's time to get something different, and I think that's been validated. Just a new resurgence in energy for me personally. And then the OVC brand is so strong. I mean, people know who the OVC is. What an honor to be able to do it. And you look at the commissioners that preceded me, you know, Beth, Dr. Steinbrecher, Dan Beebe,
Jim Delaney.
Yep. What a list of people to be able to follow in the footsteps of. So all of it seemed to make sense. My kids I've got a daughter who's a sophomore at Auburn. My son's a junior in high school. We're getting to a different stage in life. And everything seemed to line up really well. You know, I'm a big believer in divine appointments and having your steps measured. And I think this was just another one of those.
And I don't want to go in any more without talking about Beth, who's, like I said, she's been a sister to me in a lot of ways. I've known her family. I know her father passed. And, you know, she's Wisconsin, you know, Green Bay girl, Notre Dame, and everything she did. Beth and I first met. She was the assistant AD at Vanderbilt for compliance. And I was the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Banner.
Uh-huh.
She hated me. and when I was, not a humble brag, but just a brag, is I was inducted in the Tennessee Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame. I invited people who meant something to me. I invited Beth. And I told that story. I said, she used to hate me because I'm just doing my job, you know, whatever beat writers do and everything. And then we became great friends. But what she did on the NCAA level, what she did on the SEC level, Roy Kramer hired her, you know, and just you're following some tough, tough footsteps.
You can't say enough good things about Beth. She was so generous with her time. So I've known her for a while, and, you know, She lives in the same neighborhood as my in-laws, and she was so generous with her time and her insight and wisdom while I was going through the process. I talked to her more than once, and she's also been generous with her time and her thoughts since I've gotten the job. So that speaks a lot to people, what kind of person she is, and, you know, to a person, people really appreciate the person Beth is, and and she built a fantastic staff and culture, and that's going to let me do some things that are going to be really exciting.
Well, and it's Matt Wilson with us, 101 here with the new commissioner of the OVC. You enter, this is interesting times, would you say?
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. I've spent
Tell me about it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I spent more time talking about federal legislation and on Zooms with senators and lobbyists than I would have ever thought I have in the 3 months I've been on the job. It's been incredible. And then you look at the chaos over the last – I mean, there's been lots of chaos, but it seems like it's been amplified the last couple weeks with this – pro-returning
I saw stuff. What the Louisiana judge just came out yesterday again.
Commissioner Sankey takes a stand. Mm-hmm. It's good in their bylaws.
So did the Big Ten. So did the Big 12.
And now they're going straight dragged into state court. And, you know, the frustrating part about that, one, it's all chaos. And, you know, sometimes you ask for the government's help, you get it. And there's good and bad that comes with that, right? We know that whatever happens, whatever gets passed, isn't going to be a perfect bill, but it sure should help some things. But this litigation is being encouraged at some level by members of the NCAA. So we vote on rules. We decide this is how we should be governed. This is how things should work. And then all of a sudden you have an opportunity to improve your team or I don't know what, and you're encouraging them to sue people. It's
you know why, though? Because they've been winning in court.
That is. They find a judge. They win. I mean, you look – really, the Pavia case here in Nashville got the ball rolling on a lot of this stuff. And they found a judge that heard their argument, felt like they were on the right side of it, and now
but every situation is unique to itself. Because, you know, one thing I thought about that, and we will go down rabbit holes.
Yeah, that's good.
On this show, and there's no agenda, you could tell. My notes on you, I have none.
Well, I'm still looking for my rundown.
Right.
I'm sure it's coming.
But the Pavia thing was interesting because he wanted the years of eligibility because of the junior college. Well, the NCAA does not govern junior college. That's what NJCAA, right?
That's right.
So that's not your jurisdiction. So he never played an NCAA game. So how can you hold that eligibility standard to someone who's never played in your system?
Yeah.
You see, I get it.
I understand how they got there.
And the NIL, I mean, I don't know. Well, the powers that be, their greed started this all.
Yeah, and I don't even think it started in a bad spot necessarily, right? You wanted to make some more money so you could improve your football stadium, pay your coach some more, get another set of uniforms, and so you tie it to TV. But all of a sudden, the dollar amounts and the commas and the decimal points started moving so much that there's just this enormous amount of money through TV. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it didn't start in a bad spot. We want to put chair backs in our stadium. How can we make a little bit more money? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, it's, you know, we're paying coaches $7, $8, $10 million.
It's an arms race.
And it's incredible.
Okay,
talked to Charlie Baker, who's the president of NCAA, right? And he said the one thing, and we should have all seen it, but he said one of the things that he didn't see coming when the House settlement came through and the revenue share payments and all that sort of stuff started coming was how much the kids could make, and that kids would rather spend more time in college as they become adults because of the amount of money they're spending, the amount of services the schools provide, all that. So all of a sudden you've got 24, 25, 26-year-olds, people who should be pros, are coming back because they're making more, playing in better facilities, and traveling better. He said, I just didn't anticipate that, and he said, I should have. And, you know, so now we're here today.
But the bad part of it is the recruitment of high school players, because now, what, 1,200, 1,500? Let's just take college football in particular. What, 1,200 people enter the portal every year? Whatever. Yeah. And so now, if I'm a college football coach, and I'm sort of need to win do I go get a high school prospect and develop him 2 to 3 years? And if I develop him 2 to 3 years and he hits, he's going somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing with our folks,
right?
For sure, right? I mean, they start a freshman quarterback, and he's any good,
yeah,
he's not going to be at an OVC school next year.
Right.
Because they're going to triple, quadruple his
it's up and down. It's up and down.
So you hope you get somebody coming back the other direction.
Yeah, the other
right?
way. But the casualty is the high school.
I agree.
The high school recruits.
Yeah.
Because I can go get a player who's got a couple years of experience playing. I've got the film on him. Instead of hoping,
yep.
I know. It's not, yeah. It's,
well, would you want to be the coach at UT or Vanderbilt this week where you got these highly rated freshman quarterbacks and you've got to decide whether to play them or not play them, right? Did Tennessee announce they're going to play the freshman and Vanderbilt decided they're not?
Yeah.
How long? Both of those are fraught decisions, right? Because you've got to play the freshman because you've got to trust the kid.
You talk Jared Curtis, yeah. His NIL valuation. I don't know I don't know the formula for that. It's $3 million.
Depends on what you're talking to his agent or what you're talking to the school.
But it's, it's seven figures.
For sure.
You know, and you don't start him.
Yeah.
But you got to trust the kid.
But the coach is asked to win ball games.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, I can't even imagine how they manage that right now either. Can you?
Well, they're getting paid a lot of money to manage it.
Well, they are. They are. They're being made wealthy. You joke a lot. If I could just have one good season so somebody would overpay me, they could fire me anytime they wanted to after that with the buyout, right?
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher's sitting there on his yacht somewhere.
You don't, I don't imagine he's in a big hurry to get back on the sideline, do you?
Lord. All right, we got to –
we
spiraled.
Yeah. No, I love Jason Rabbits.
Now, hey,
Matt Wilson, staff will tell you that.
Oh, I know. Matt Wilson is our guest. He's, 90 days on the job now?
Yeah, that's right.
As the new commissioner of High Valley Conference. We're going to get into that because of my foundation. I'm all OVC. I grew up on it, and I love it too. All right. I was going to almost give the phone number. We don't take calls on this show.
Oh, man.
So, no, it's one-on-one.
Well,
you and me.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I got too many knucklehead friends to try to barge in.
There we go.
All right, let's take a break. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, right here on 94.9 The Fan. Looking for your favorite. Little Dire Straits.
Hey, I can't complain about
that. Well, there's a line in here that I won't attribute to you. Money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
No,
you can't say that. You can't say that anymore.
So.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah, let's restart.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Matt Wilson, he is the new commissioner of the High Valley Conference, 101 with Greg Pogue. By the way, we were talking about it tonight, the John Merrick Classic, Tennessee State and Jackson State. The game will be on 102.5 The Game and 102.1 The Ville. The 102.1 The Ville, where the games will be all season long. I'll be doing all the play-by-play. I think the news release said the 15th year. I don't know if that's true or not. I think maybe 12 or 13. I don't know. And then Rod Reed, the former All-American linebacker and head coach, is going to do the commentary.
Oh, that's great.
I mean,
how great is that going to be? I'm going to be over there tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch from the sidelines and get to visit Dr. Tucker and watch everything that goes with it. It's exciting playing at Vanderbilt. I think that's a perfect size stadium for this event. And the other neat piece is it's kind of the opening salvo of FCS football this year. And it starts at Vanderbilt. And we're going to end with the FCS championship game in January here in Nashville again at Vanderbilt. So it's awesome to have those
bookies.
Which
was a huge crowd last year.
Enormous success, and I think there's a great opportunity. It was a two-year agreement to start. I think there's great momentum for that to extend.
Montana State, right?
I can't remember whether it was Montana.
No, it was. Yeah,
it
was Montana
Illinois State.
Yep,
that's
Montana
right.
Montana State.
That's right. That was a little before I was locked in on the FCS stuff, but locked in now. But what a credit to Scott Ramsey and the National Sports Council and Candace Lee and all the folks over at Vandy to be able to make that happen for us. So it's exciting. We're glad to be a small part of that.
To get to hear the Gulf South Conference, the commissioner there, talk about that experience.
That was one I had spent 9 years at the Atlantic Sun Conference. Great mentor and Ted Gumbart down there. And just kind of started feeling, hey, maybe it's time for me to captain my own ship here. and had a search firm come reach out to me and said, yeah, okay, let's take a look, and got people excited, and we did some awesome stuff in 9 years or in 12 years over at the Gulf South, and it was a really good place. Birmingham was home for us to be able to raise the family, and that was a job that's very similar to what we're doing here at the OVC, just some small differences. It's membership-driven. It's relationship-driven. Football is a key piece, but it's not the only piece. So a lot of similarities between the Gulf South and the OVC, and hope that we'll be able to take the lessons that I learned and some things that did wrong, some things I did right, and be able to make this next phase of what we're going to do at the OVC great.
In conference membership alignments is so fluid, especially at the FCS level, is where you are in football, your Division I, everything else, right? How do you manage that? Because you want to keep your own, but you want to go get somebody else's.
Yeah, the board was really clear with me on three strategic priorities I need to be working on, and the very first one was membership, recruitment, and retention. And I think it's relationship building. You've got to build relationships. I've been on 6 of our 9 campuses already. I'll be on a 7th in 2 weeks, and then I'll hit the last couple before the fall semester's shot. So you have to build relationships. And the decision makers, you've got to have a relationship with presidents and ADs. And then you have to make sure your value proposition's good. And I think ours is. The OVC brand's strong. If you ask people in Kentucky, Southern Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Tennessee, if they heard of the OVC, and they have any relationship with college sports at all, they're going to tell you yes. Now, they may not tell you who's in the league exactly right if I asked them to give me a list of it.
It's been, what, since the 40s, the late 40s, right?
Yeah, and they may not tell you who's in it, but I don't care if they know for sure who's in it today. I just want them to know who the OVC is, and we'll coach you up on who's in it. So the first step is making sure you're familiar with the OVC, and I think people are familiar with that. But regional travel in this day and age of college athletics has got to come back, regional competition. When you're spending so much revenue on, you know, it sounds crass, but it's reality, player payroll, coaches' salaries, things like that, why would you spend $100,000 chartering your football team for a game in Texas or
Utah,
the Great Plains or Utah or wherever, when you could put them on a bus, go play somebody 2.5 hours away and know your fans are coming to watch it? So I think there's going to be a little pendulum swing like that. It won't be perfect for every school and every sport, but I think you're going to see some of that come back, and that's really part of what we're selling. The other piece is I think we've had 5 different men's basketball champions in 5 years in the OVC. You can achieve what you want to in the OVC competitively while doing it in a way that is supportive of your academic mission, the institutional mission, and being resource-minded.
How much, though, it's still so football-driven.
It is.
But if you look at it in these far-flung conference affiliations, there are other sports besides football, right?
That's right.
What are you going to do with your other sports?
Yeah, I don't know. You've got to make that investment institutionally. And with the question I would ask a school is, what problem did you solve by changing to something that makes less sense regionally and travel-wise for you? And maybe there's a great answer there, and if so, great, and let me learn from that so that the next school that has those same issues or concerns, we can talk to them about it. But, you know, I'm with you. When you start looking at a map and a pen and a paper, if we could all 32 conferences get around the table and reshuffle based on resources and geography, I think all our conferences would look a little different.
By the way, Matt Wilson, we are at Roy's Meat Service. How many places can you go? What's the name of your dogs, young man? What's the name? Blue? Oh, Blue. Oh, my God. And so we have a dog. You can actually get Wagyu beef.
Uh-huh.
And what's in that cabinet over there, that cooler, is not at Kroger or Publix. It's Prime.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Wagyu beef. Or night crawlers and mealworms right there, where you can get your Wagyu beef and then go fishing.
You can't. Only here.
Yeah, and then I have my guests face the beer. So you're looking at the beer cooler.
They've got the cool racket over there. They're full up.
You got the beer. You look that way.
They're ready for tailgate Saturday, aren't they?
Yeah. So anyway, Matt is our guest. Is he going to get worse before it gets better?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I don't know. It's not great right now, right? I don't know. You keep thinking, what is worse? But if you'd asked me 2 years ago, would we have players participating in NFL mini camps and people playing G League games, coming back to play NCAA athletics, I would have told you no chance in the world. But here we are, right? There's several players that are doing that, and there's programs that are building their team around some of these people as featured pieces. So I think that we're going to have federal help from Washington, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah, that
because
is.
You get what you ask for. When you ask for the help, you know, the bill that they've thrown out there, if you ask me what percentage is great for the OVC, 60? But that means there's 40 that's not, right? And maybe it's less for the SEC. Maybe it's more for some other conference. The Ivy League may tell you they don't like any of it. But I think we have to have some help. Because
the Ivy League's now giving scholarships, too, in the last few years.
It's crazy. Yeah. They can do anything they want up there. And, you know, but we've got to be able to enforce rules. I mean, it's still – can you imagine playing a football game where you couldn't enforce the rules? I mean, that would be insane. And the same thing is trying to create equitable competition opportunities. Now, I know the resources aren't equitable, but at least when you get out there and play – you kind of know where these kids came from, and
is it easy to blame the NCAA?
Super easy.
And they've got there's a lot that you can do that, but that just seems like, well, they have no teeth, they have this and everything. NCAA runs everything except FBS football.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and the problem is the losses in the legal system just continue to pile up. I mean, the NCAA spent 8 figures on league outside counsel last year. 8 figures. That's money that could be going into creating championship opportunities for people. But instead, we're using it defending court cases. And I think we got an update last night that said there's, I don't know, something just under 200 student-athletes who have had an extra year of eligibility given to them just since this age-based 5-year eligibility system came out through the state
courts.
Well,
and that was 2023 and after.
That's
well,
right.
If I'm 2022...
You're trying to get it.
I'm going to – hey, what? And I'll go across the street and find an attorney to help me go get it.
Well, I can promise you that because they're going to get their 20% of your NIL cut, and they're going to be in good shape.
Yeah.
You know, I can promise you because, these are kids that think they can make a lot of money. And, what I'm curious about really is the roster spots are defined by the House settlement. The amount of money should be defined, but I'm sure they can find some more. How much money do programs have? How many roster spots do they have? Are they going to cut a kid? Are they going to let go the high school recruit that they just brought in so that they can free up spot for this?
Yes.
24? Well, yes.
Yes.
So that 18-year-old's now out, so this 24-year-old can get another bite at the apple. Is that right? I guess it depends on whether you're with the 24-year-old or with the 18-year-old on this one. There's two sides to this thing. But
is it going to take the power for – to just break away and do their thing, but they can't. It's so simply said, because if they do it, it's football. Well, guess what? If I'm anybody outside of the Power Four, I'm not playing you in any other sport. Guess what? You guys go play each other.
Yeah. I hope not. I'm a Big Ten guy. I think that there's a reason for the Big Ten stuff. It's exciting, right? I mean –
In a world that Indiana can win, and I tell you what, if you put me in a time capsule 20 years ago, and I come out and Indiana's won the national football championship, I go, put me back in.
Exactly. Yeah, no chance. I mean, it just shows you what roster management can do and those resources can do for you now. And a good coach, right? He has a good coach, good system, great culture, but he had an old team. I mean, just straight up old, right?
Well, he brought James Madison with him.
I know. He brought those great players with him. I don't know. I don't know how it gets better, and I know I should have a better answer for that. But unless
I don't think anybody does.
If we can't enforce any rules, I don't know what we do. And then if I'm the SEC and the Big Ten, I think they're even different than the ACC and the Big 12. I mean, if I'm the SEC and the Big Ten, you have to think about what self-governance looks like. Their television contracts are big enough to withstand it. Their fan bases are big enough. It won't matter whether there's an NCAA opportunity or not when Auburn hosts their first home game. There'll be, 85,000 people down there at Jordan-Hare? They'll be full. It'll be full, and they don't care who they're playing as long as they're playing football. And people will tell you college football is healthy because the stadiums are full at the highest level.
Well, it's,
but I don't know that that's the full story.
And the TV props it. Yeah, props it. Matt Wilson is our guest. We'll take a break. Enough of the we're gonna get my brain's hurting. I don't think this much on Saturday mornings. Matt Wilson with us, new commissioner of the High Valley Conference. More with Matt coming up. This is Greg Pogue 101 with Greg Pogue. Yes, I am Greg Pogue. Yes, I am. Presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, 94.9 The Fan. Twenty-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. The newly minted commissioner of the High Valley Conference, Matt Wilson.
That's the only newly minted thing on me, I'll tell you that.
Columbia.
Yeah.
Tell me about growing up in Columbia Central.
It was great.
Tell me about family,
great.
Mom, dad, family.
Yeah, my folks are still down there. My folks met in Honewall, which is even further west towards West Tennessee over there.
Is that Lewis County?
It is. Yeah. So they ended up moving to Columbia and over to Murray County, and that was home. It was a great place to grow up. My folks still live there. I laid my head there last night, so they've been great, and I know they've been excited. But, you know, they taught me my love of sports. My dad coached me in everything that I did growing up, and my mom was right there with us to go, and every family vacation involved a theme park and a baseball game and a chance to do that. So my love of sport and God and family comes from them, and I'm thankful for them, and that was great. You know, Columbia known for Mule Day, right? I haven't been to one in a long time, been to a couple, so that's all right. But, Middle Tennessee lifetime, right? It's been terrific for us. And then moved to Belmont and go to school there, and it was a great experience. And Mike Strickland took a chance on
Mike Strickland. I was gonna, I knew Mike when he was at Murray, mm-hmm. Murray State, and came to Belmont. Yep. What a great guy, yep. And really set the path for where Belmont is athletically.
He did. I mean, he caught the vision, and then he was lucky to be able to get a president that was fired up and ready to go with Dr. Fisher coming on board, and they figured out how to work together and push things ahead. So,
and he walked through the door with Rick Byrd.
That's a big advantage, right? Not everybody gets that. Yeah. You know, Coach Byrd did a great job, and my time at Belmont was formative and fun, and to be able to grow from there. And then my wife's family's from here too. She's still got her mom and dad over in Green Hills, and her sister and her family over there too. So it's been really good. It's been good to have a place to lay my head and know I can have some family to lean on and be able to do some things. So Middle Tennessee's great, and that was a big attractive part of the job for us.
Your wife, Sarah,
that's
what
right.
does she do? I know what she does.
So she's the athletics director of the second largest private school in Alabama, first female athletics director down there. So proud of all the work she's done down there. And
what's the name of the school?
Briarwood Christian School, right there. And our house is across the street. So you walk to the football game on Friday night. So it's great. They had their first one last night. They're 2-0, so they're excited down there. And, you know, she played basketball and softball and other sports growing up at Franklin Road Academy, and we ended up
so
playing.
FRA girl,
that's
huh?
right. She's FRA, and then she played basketball at Rhodes. So luckily the kids get both the looks and athleticism from Sarah, so that's a good thing. I've got two kids. Mia's a sophomore at Auburn, so she's loving that, and Auburn's only about an hour and 45 minutes from where we're living in Birmingham, so that's nice. And she's got plans to be a occupational therapist, and it's going to be exciting. Then my son Yates is a junior in high school. He's a soccer guy coming off a torn labrum. He's almost fully back. So he's almost fully back to being able to dive around. He's a goalkeeper, so he's ready to go.
Yeah, but you still, during this transition, you've still – you just told me you stayed at your parents last night. You got the AD – got a football game down there, and then here you are, commissioner of the OVC. That's got a little bit of wonkiness to it.
My calendar's pretty full, and you're trying to figure out where you're going. I've spent a lot of time in the car, but that's okay. You know, windshield time's a good time to learn. My family's so supportive. I mean, I couldn't do this if Sarah and the kids weren't supportive, and the family letting us use their house as our house for a little while here to be able to do some of these things. So I don't know how people get along without having that kind of family support.
Yeah. How did you meet Sarah?
It's a great – yeah, that's a funny one. She worked at the National Sports Council. So that was her first full-time job, was working at National Sports Council.
Was that with Scott Ramsey?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, with Gary Alexander and Scott. You know, she worked really closely with Gary, and they were hosting the NCAA men's basketball tournament in 2003 downtown at the arena. I was the SID at Belmont. I volunteered, and we ended up spending some time together on the sideline chatting up during games, and it just took off from there. So we owe so much to college athletics and sports, and that's a big part of it.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, even before that, what, Jenny Hannon was, you know, the that foundation of the National Sports Council with Rick Regan, and then Scott came and
that's
just
right.
blew
it's
it out. Yeah, it's amazing with that. Oh, who is it? Oh, crap. The guy who just put out a book.
Jay Grider.
Yeah, Jay Grider. Uh-huh. Good Lord. I mean, Jay's going to – I'm going to have him come here.
Yeah, talk
come
about do, his book. Yeah,
talk
got
about
stories,
his book.
Man, he's got stories.
The ones he can tell and the ones he can't.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
but, exactly Jay Grider, right. Congratulations on his book and with that. So did you ever think the because you started out – in communications, right?
That's
sports
right.
information.
Yeah.
Did you ever, when did it start accelerating to administration?
That's a great question. You know, when I was doing sports information, I was faxing stuff, right? I was making sure that your radio guys would put Coach Bird on whenever they could. And I can think I'm organized. I'm detail oriented. I can communicate with people. I think this is stuff that's going, and it really took off from there. And I can't imagine working on a campus again. The pressures of working on a campus, and the opportunities are great, right? I miss interacting with the student athletes, but the number of events and the hours and the pressure that's on there now, that doesn't seem like it's me. I'm more in this administrative role. Let me support. You know, at the end of the day, the OVC is a member services organization. We serve our members.
Well, that's right. The presidents are your boss.
That's right.
Tell me about that dynamic, because every institution is unique to itself.
They are, and it's interesting. You have to get them all pulling the same direction, and that's one of the things that was attractive about this job. The OVC has had a lot of membership turnover in the last decade, a lot. I mean, and big names and people names that people recognize. But when I sat across the table from the nine presidents during my interview process, I asked them, are you all in this? Are you all committed together? Because I don't want to take a chance on something where there's two of you with a foot out the door already. And to a person, those presidents said they were, and that they want to give this a shot, and they think there's a reason for this group to stay collected and provide great competition opportunities. And I've taken them at their word, and so far that's been great. They've been receptive. They've been open to the ideas that we want to bring, and they've given us a chance to go. Now they need to see some results, and what will results look like? I suspect that we'll need to have some membership movement in the next couple years. You know, and without that, it's going to be hard to say we've done a great job.
Well, and that's something I talked with Beth mm-hmm. Bush, your predecessor, that – isn't it a unique dynamic that you are the retention business?
That's right.
And you want to maintain that current membership. However, lack of a better word, you're poaching other schools to leave other conferences.
Yeah.
And it's just it's everywhere. I mean, I'll use MTSU as an example. You know, and with Chris Massaro, he got asked every day, when are you leaving the Sun Belt to go to Conference USA? And now, just the way the memberships have changed, I don't know that was the right decision or not, but at the time, it was.
That's right, and it changes so much, right? And what your relationships feel. But you're right, you're poaching. Like, there are schools that, in our geography, if I sat down with people that know college sports or had access to a Wikipedia page and gave them a notebook for – you know, 30 minutes, they would have the same list of people that I need to call and talk to. And it's hard because you know at the end of the day that's a tough thing for your colleagues and your peers. There's only 32 Division I commissioners. It's a really exclusive club. And you're damaging your colleagues in some way anytime there's membership change. And, you have to do it. That's the reality of it. And you hope that you realign around things that make sense. And that's what we hope we can tell people. It's a slower process than it needs to. And it's so CEO driven, the presidents and the chairs of the board, that you've got to get to the right decision makers and talk to them. And they have to capture your vision. So what I would tell you is that anytime there's a change in a president at a school, there's an opportunity for something very different to happen in athletics, because they all want to put their own stamp on it.
Yep. All right, we'll take our last break. More with Matt Wilson, the new commissioner of the High Valley Conference, 1-on-1 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service on 94.9 The Fan. What a one with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. I don't know who's going to. I haven't even got this far ahead. Next Saturday, I'm going to be in Athens, Georgia.
Look at you.
Doing the TSU at Georgia game, a 102 on the bill. Tonight, 7 o'clock on 102 Find the Game and 102 won the Ville. Coach Rod Reed and myself would be doing the play-by-play of the John Merritt Classic, Tennessee State and Jackson State, that rivalry.
Boy,
and
those non-conference games are so important to what you try to do with the FCS playoffs for your whole league. I mean, it's incredible that your resume gets made in the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yep.
And we need non-conference wins. Those are going to be able to drive us to get multi-teams into the playoffs.
Matt Wilson is the new commissioner of the High Valley Conference. Your vision, I know you're only 3 months on the job.
That's right.
But your vision, because I know when you go and interview, people want to say, what do you see 3 to 5 years out and further?
Yeah.
Where is the going the OVC need to be?
I hope we've got 10 to 12 full members so that our teams have very robust schedules. Because scheduling, this is a thing that people may not think about much. There's 32 opportunities to play basketball in Division I now. We're only providing 16 conference games this year. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of games to go find. So I'm hoping we're 10 to 12 multi-sport members to help with that, give us some security, help with revenue, all those sort of things. So I hope we're there. I hope that the OVC is influential in the NCAA governance system, that our voice can be heard, that we've put the right people in the right spot to be able to be part of that. And I hope we're having multiple teams in the FCS football playoffs. I think that that's a realistic expectation for us to get a couple every single year.
Well, it's happened even in the last
2 years
had
ago.
Right. TSU and UT Martin. No, UT Martin didn't go. No, yeah, UT Martin did. He had and then SEMO.
Yeah.
But not Tennessee Tech.
That's right.
But
so we're hoping that that's what we look like. But I really want to be able to provide some membership security. That's the first thing. And then after that, it kind of moves a little bit towards revenue. How can we help?
Well, that's money you took. Where's the revenue come from? How do you generate revenue?
It's really difficult, right? You only have a few properties that are worth money. It's the ESPN digital platform, right? We're going to put – oh, gosh, I don't know. It's going to be like 700 total contests on the air over on ESPN Plus this year. So that's one. We've got to make sure we're doing the best we can out of that and making the production affordable enough that the schools can do it so they can realize some money. We've got to leverage our basketball championship in Evansville to the most we can with corporate partners. That's the other one. And then after that, is there new ways that we can do revenue? What does that look like? Are there different arms? Can we be involved in facility projects that can bring in events? Is there a way for us to do our own production on a small scale that a high school could bring us in and do the production for us? A local college needs some help. They hire OVC Productions to come in and do it. Is that some ways that we can do it? So revenue's tough. That's some incremental revenue. That's ways to do it. And then we just have to continue to be efficient in our operation. And I don't think we're extravagant. I think predecessor did a great job on that, Beth and her team. I don't think there's a lot of – well, I think we're down to the quick. So I don't think there's a lot of expense that we can cut. But we have to make sure we're continuing to be efficient.
Well, don't cut – there's one that you really –
Which one?
The one that has to be at the top of the list that will never, ever, ever,
well, tell
ever,
me. I'll
ever,
get my notepad.
Ever, ever, ever be cut.
Which one?
This week in OVC football.
You know what? I had that one. I had that one. Look at my list of do not cut.
Do not
this
cut.
This week in OVC football.
Produced by Greg Pogue.
Oh, is that who does that one? Okay.
That one goes over here.
There's a pot of things you can't touch. That's in that.
I don't know how many years I've been doing that. Kyle and Beth, uh-huh. But Kyle Schwartz and everything. I do it. It's a 2-minute thing. We do it for basketball, and it's got two corporate sponsors at the end, and it goes local, and it gets sent to the universities, and it's up on all the websites, and I tell you one thing, you cut that, you'll never be on this show again.
Well, I can't afford that, so we're in good shape there.
You having fun?
I am. It's been energizing. It's been great. Not that I wasn't enjoying the last job, but new challenges, new opportunities, new people. It just brings a sense of energy and excitement, and I hope it shows, and I hope people are ready for us to do some exciting and fun stuff.
What are you doing next week? Give me your week.
Next week.
Because I know you're going to get out and start doing all the football stuff.
That's
right.
Exactly right. I'm going to be at UT Martin next Saturday. Uh-huh. They're playing Chicago State, so I'm going to catch that game. I'll spend a couple days in Birmingham working remotely, and then when I get back in, I've just got meetings on top of meetings. I mean, we've got a meet with government relations staff. We'll do internal staff meetings. We've got to do some branding and thoughts about Basketball Media Day, which is coming in October. There's a fair enough work there.
The Evansville thing, you know, personally, when it was here,
yeah,
at Municipal Auditorium, you know, it's here.
That's
I can drive to it.
That's right.
But what's happened in Evansville with the Ford Center and that community from the, you know, it really is the perfect place for
I was up there a few weeks ago, and they referred to it as their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, how many places does a mid-major Division I conference get to take their basketball tournament to a community that describes it as their Super Bowl? Not many. So that is great. I mean, you lose
and
some
the Southern
things by
Indiana,
not being national
well, Southern
market.
Indiana membership yeah. helped move that, I mean,
for
coming
sure.
later. Yeah.
It's great. Our fans can get there. We've got to generate more fan traffic to this. We've got to sell more tickets. We've got to make it a bigger deal in the community. I don't know how you do that exactly, but we're going to sure put our heads down and work really hard on it. I think a lot of it is going to be we need teams to be good so that their fan base is energized. We need to make sure the tickets are affordable, and we make sure that the game experience is great when they get there.
Yeah. Parker, you can put that music bed anywhere. That tells me to shut up. So Parker Kelly producing these last 2 hours. Appreciate him back at the 94.9 The Game studio, the fan studio, rather. Once again, promoting this TSU season opener, John Merritt Classic, Jackson State, Tennessee State, maybe the biggest rivalry in HBCU or one of them, and that will be at 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 kickoff on 102.5 The Game and 102.1 The Ville, myself and Rod.
And you know how I would tell people? I say, bring it up on ESPN+, Plus, mute the audio and listen to Greg and Rod. How about that?
Okay, except,
is that okay?
Well, I don't know if you can contractually do that, but that's up to you. You're the boss now.
I say that's a great option for you. Make sure that you're streaming that thing.
All right, Matt. Thanks, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Enjoyed
it.
And congratulations. You know how big of a fan that I am. It's a lifetime passion for me of the OEC.
We can tell, and we appreciate you.
Parker, hey, great job. Everybody have a great rest of the day. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.